Hanukkah sugya. We spent 3 weeks deconstructing tzraras. I think someone gave you a massive table on Friday. I still have to give you that outline and get a chance. It's been a busy, busy weekend. Now we are about to embark on a whole new topic. And that topic will be understanding the p'tur of Shein and Regel in Rishos HaRabim. Ubir b'steyacher v'lo b'Rishos HaRabim. This will take us probably 2 weeks. As I promise you, it's a much easier set of sugyos, less conceptual than Sereros, but still very methodological. At the intersection lies the following sugya, which means that today we'll talk a little bit about Sereros, which will be familiar to you, and a lot of it about Rishos HaRabim. So right now, the Gemara asks a question, right? Because every question in the Gemara is a conceptualization. So this is a way to conceptualize these two sugyas. The Gemara says on Daf Yud Tes and Aleph. We already saw the following five questions about Sereros. Question number one, Megufo. Question number two, Yeshinoi. Actually, in order now. Question number two, Yeshada, Yud Chasim Beis. Question number three, Yud Tes and Aleph, Yeshinoi, Einshinoi. Question number four, Avraham Amel's question. If it's a place that's inevitable, right? Giraffes on roller skates with oiled stones, inevitable, but the animal kicks, is it Sereros or is it not Sereros? Case number five was of Yirmiyah's question, what if the animal kicks, according to Rashi's Girsa, is it Karen or Regel? Now, Rav Yirmiyah has a second question. This is still Rav Yirmiyah's question. Keep in mind, this is Rav Yirmiyah. This isn't a new voice. 7, 10 lines from the bottom. Hetiza b'Rishos HaRabim v'hizika b'Rishos HaYachid. Sereros were flung from Rishos HaRabim, where Regel is Pater. We all know that. As Ari, even Rava, who questioned Migufa by Tzraros, agreed that it's Pater and Rishos HaRabim because it's Regel, normal Tzraros, not Tzraros Bibita. That was the previous question. Is abnormal Tzraros Karen or Regel? But now this is normal classic Tzraros, which is normal classic Orche, which is Pater and Rishos HaRabim. What happens if the flinging took place in Rishos HaRabim, but the damage took place in Rishos HaYachid? So the Gemara initially says it's Pater because the act took place in Rishos HaRabim, where it says, Akira, Ein kan, Hanocha, Yesh kan? Could it be that you're Chayef? There's no Akira, there's nothing. It all starts in Rishos HaRabim, which is a no regel zone, and therefore you're Pater, even though the Kli that was damaged was in Rishos HaYachid. In which case, the Gemara quotes three Brisos, which suggest otherwise, the way they will just quote the first Brisa, because they're all structured the same way. Eisvei, Haisem Halachas Baderech, Veitiza, Tzraros, Vein Rishos HaYachid, Vein Rishos HaRabim Chayev. Everyone collectively. Could you be Chayev and Tzraros and Rishos HaRabim? Of course not. Classic Tzraros is an animal walks into Rishos HaYachid, flings stones, and breaks Kli. So my love, what must, could it be the Brises, Hetiza, Rishos HaRabim, Zika, Rishos HaRabim? That doesn't make sense. How could Tzraros be Chayev if everything happened in Rishos HaRabim? We all know Tzraros HaPad, Rishos HaRabim. Lo. Hetiza b'Rishos HaRabim v'Zika b'Rishos HaYachid. The case where Yechayev in Rishos HaRabim is where the flinging took place in Rishos HaRabim and the breakage took place in Rishos HaYachid where the Kli is lying. V'Amart, line number 6 from the bottom, Akira Ein Kan Hanochah Yeshkan, you already told me that that would be Pater. Gemara says, Hadribe, Amalei Hadribe, change your mind. That if the flinging took place in Rishos HaRabim and the breakage took place in Rishos HaYachid, you're actually Chayev. You thought you were Pater, you're actually Chayev. And the Gemara repeats this process twice by quoting two other brisos from which we infer that Hetiza b'Rishos HaRabim, Mezika b'Rishos HaYachid, Sereros, with an offset between the flinging and the breakage, Sereros would be Chayev, not Pater, as we originally thought. So the maskana of this Gemara is flinging in Rishos HaRabim, breaking in Rishos HaYachid, an offset between the two, in Sereros, you'd be Chayev. Which creates a problem for a conceptualization of the Rosh. The Rosh says, oh, you can conceptualize Rav Yirmiyah? I can also conceptualize. And this creates a clash of Rav Yirmiyah's conceptualization with the Rosh's conceptualization according to the Rav. That's our sugya today. Okay, there's no problem in the Gemara. No, we can talk from today until tomorrow about the Svaros here. Gemara is two deos. Hetiza b'Rishos HaRabim, Zika b'Rishos HaYachid, Chayev or Pater. And where things Pater and we're Chayev. Okay, we can analyze that. But it's not like we're at a loss for logic. A lot of good Svaros. The problem is, the Rosh was analyzing something the Rav said, came to his own case conceptualization, which seems to clash with the Gemara's maskana here, according to the Rav. Okay? So that's our journey for today. We may have a second part to the journey, but our primary journey is we're going to see the famous Shita of the Rif, and we're going to see the case conceptualization that the Rosh generates to explain the Rif. That's going to create a clash, and we're going to see four potential answers in this clash. Okay, that's our itinerary for today. Okay. Sometimes you need brisker logic. Sometimes in life, it's provided explicitly by the Rishonim for you. Brisk assumes that Rishonim knew it intuitively. That's why they didn't articulate it. But for whatever reason, sometimes they articulate it. So before the Rif came along in the year, I don't know, 800 in Baghdad, all the Baghdadian briskers were saying, okay, why is Shein and Regal Patrin or Shasarapim? And they asked the following question. Is it a Gzeres HaKasav? Remember, we talked about HaKadosh Baruch Hu handing out discounts. Discount for Bor, Kalim, discount for Eish, Tamun, discount for Karen, Chatzin Nezek, Migufo, discount for Shein Varego, or some other halacha which we'll try to hunt down. Or maybe because Regel and Shein always walk through Rosh Hashanah, it's a normal thoroughfare where cars, okay, in those days it wasn't cars, it was cows, it's a normal place. Since it's Orche for animals to walk in Rosh Hashanah, Natan, you can't be chayev for the damage your animals commit in an Orche way in Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure this conversation took place in Baghdad. I'm sure it took place in Syria. Probably took place in Eretz Yisrael. But along came the Rif, probably in Morocco. And the Rif said, I'm going to articulate it for the first time. Maybe we'll see it in the Gemara. And the Rif said, the Patur Shasarabim is at a formal Patur based on zone, which zone it is, which zone it isn't. It's based on the word Orche. So let's see the Rif, the most famous Rif in all of Baba Kama. The Rif is on Aleph Amid Beis. Really, really famous, famous, famous Rif. The Rif claims that the Ketor, the Shasarabim, for Shein, for Regel, quotes, of course, the Gemara Daf Hei Amid Beis, the Gemara Hei Amid Beis, Rabba says, why does the Torah have to explicitly list all the Avos Mezikin? You could have just had Bor Plus and learned out all the other Avos. Rabba's answer is L'Hilchoseim, for the respective Peturim. Then the Rif says, the Shein, for Regel, Aleph Amid Beis, for Shasarabim, Peturim, Mishum de Orchayuhu, it's Orche. Okay? This Rif will form the cornerstone of the next 2.5 weeks of learning. The next 2.5 weeks of learning, every single line we read of every Gemara and every Rishon is going to be centered around this question. How to understand the Petur Shein Regel and Shasarabim? Is it Petur based on a formal Petur or some other, or is it based on Orche? Now we're going to deconstruct Orche. Even today we'll see Orche can mean many things. But in our minds, we've started to build the two branches of our table. Orche or formal Petur. Orche or formal Petur. The Rif says Orche. Okay, makes sense. We'll see a Gemara later that may sound a lot like the Rif. Can anyone tell me which Gemara I'm alluding to? Maybe we'll just say it now, that it's not a formal Petur, but Shein a regular Petur because it's Orche. What? Let's see the Gemara now. We'll see the way it's different. That Gemara is going to mean five different things, but it sounds like it's not a formal Petur. It sounds like it's something else. The Gemara wants to know, Daf Yutes Amid Beis, and now we're moving a little bit forward. The Gemara says, what happens if Kishkisha, they were sitting near Rabbi Huda, and they said, Kishkisha Biznava Mahu. What happens if the animal swings its tail and does damage? Which sounds like it's regal, because the tail swinging is normal gait. Remember, we talked about the tail helps the animal walk, like a fin helps the fish swim. So the tail is part of regal, it's part of normal walking. So the Gemara says, why should you be chayiv? V'chiyo chazena biznava v'yelech. Animals walk. Animals swing tails. How can we make owners walk after their animal and hold those tails? I'm not going to finish the sentence, but it's not something we're willing to consider. Now this is going to mean, Arya, many different things, but all of a sudden you see that the Petur, Shein and Regel and Shasarabim is based on, because it's, I don't know, not formal. Something logical, animals walk, animals wag, you can't force a guy to call wagging tails. It's something in that realm of the Rif. Gemara doesn't use the word Orche, maybe we'll see other Gemaras that will use the word Orche. But it doesn't say bir b'steachav v'lo b'shusarabim. And if you were to say, oh, how can you have kish kishu b'snava b'shusarabim v'lo b'steachav? It doesn't give a pasuk. It gives a svara. That already tilts towards the Rif. A svara rather than exeris akasav. The Rif is explaining the svara. So the Rush quotes the Rif. We'll see how the Rush develops the Rif and then gives this conceptualization that would distinguish the Rif's shita. And that conceptualization, pow! Creates the clash with reviewer misconceptualization and your test, and that's how we solve four different answers, okay? Again, understanding the structure is more important than understanding each little detail. There's no stira on Shas. There's a stira here between a reviewer's case and the maskana, and the Rif's conceptualization, at least the way the Rush understood the Rif, which will lead to one of our easy answers. Maybe you can get to it later. Okay, so now, let's see the famous Rush explaining famous Rif. This is ABCs of Baba Kama. This is I'm going today. After I finish here, I'll get a cup of coffee. I have a meeting with Ellie and Rabbi Jacob. And then I'm going to the office, and I'm giving back my salary for today. I don't deserve a salary. Maybe the answer is wrong. This is easy peasy Gemara Bava Kama. This is classic Bava Kama. I'm going to give back my one shekel that I'm making today because it's not fair. Just give back my salary. Okay. I deserve a half a shekel because I'll teach the Amshul Shlomo. I'll give you a svara, and of course I made a Merit Simcha. But on this spot, this is such classic riff. So the riff says, okay. So I'll open up the riff. Aleph, Aleph. He quotes the Rush, the Shein Veregel. It's right before the Ches of the Pilpulich Harifta. Vishain Viregel Pturim Bishosarabim to Orchehu. Quotes the Rif. Tamili Mahutzach Lefarish Tama de Ptiri. It's a Pasuk. Answer, next line. Vyevsher Shabbat Lefarish Tama Pasuk. The reason of the Pasuk, why you're Pater. Nafkamina, after test. I'm summarizing the Rush because you all saw the Rush yesterday. Quotes the Rif. Ask the Kasha, who needs a svar, it's a pasuk. Says the Rif is reading, like any good brisker is, what is the Torah's message? You can say Gzeres HaKasef from today until tomorrow. Gzeres HaKasef means, I wouldn't have said it on my own. But now that Hashem said it, what logic of the system is Hashem telling me? Gzeres HaKasef is not the end of the conversation. Gzeres HaKasef is the beginning of the conversation. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we can't crack Hashem's logic. We just say Hashem said it, and we just have to see it as a formal exemption. But often we're trying to say, well, I wouldn't have said it on my own. It's not like if I woke up one morning and Gavriel asked me, Rabbi Tarragon, write a sefer called Baba Kama. I don't know that I would have said it on my own. Hashem had to say it, but now that Hashem said it, what's the meaning? What's the logic behind what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? Now the Rush says, after tes v'nafka mina mitam zeh, shim haya eitz aruch munach miktsasa v'yashua sarabha miktsasa b'yashua sayachid, v'darsa lav b'yashua sarabha v'shiba b'yashua sayachid, Kivan Shadarko Leilich Velidros. Torim. Okay. So now we are back to our nice pictures. An Eitz Aruch. The animal steps on the Eitz Aruch in Rosh Hashanah. The clay is on the Eitz Aruch in Rosh Hashanah. If I hold it's formal, then I would say, you're chayiv because of the damage, the breakage happened in Rosh Hashanah. Being that it's logical, not formal, and it's based on orche, so anything which is orche, you're pater, and it's orche for an animal to walk in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and step on beams that align in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So according to the Rif, I'd be pater, right? There is no Gemara that talks about this case. There's a Gemara that talks about a parallel case. We'll see in a moment. This case doesn't exist in Gemara. So the Rush is saying, if you hold that it's formal, you'd be mechayev here because the breaking shot in Rosh Hashanah. If you hold that it's logical, okay. It's the Rif, and you say that you're pater. So there's no great fireworks in the Rush. The Rush is just saying that these are, like any good brisker, there are two ways to view the Pterosh HaSarabim. This would be the Nafkamina, the famous case of Eitz Aruch. Now, of course, this creates pressure, because what's the difference between Eitz Aruch, according to the Rif, pressure in the Rif, let's say pater, as opposed to Behema Shematiza Sraros, that then go to Rosh Hayachid and break the kli. And the Gemara says, on your tests, that's your chayev. We thought you'd be pater, akira inkan anacha yeshkan, amalei hadribei. So according to the Rif, what's the difference between Eitz Aruch, that's your chayev, according to the way the Rush understands the Rif, let's assume the Rush is right for the current purposes, as opposed to, in each case, you have the maisa happening in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and the nezek, the final nezek, happening in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Why does the Rif say pater, at least the way the Rush understands him? Whereas Rav Yirmiya says, you'd be chayiv. And of course, the offset is, the answer is, this is tsaros, and this is normal regel. The question is, why should it matter? Okay, that's our steer. Again, there's no steer in Shas. The steer is, if you hold like the Rif, and you adopt the Rush's conceptualization, you create a clash with, this is Rav Yirmiya, on Daf Yutas Simra. Okay? So we're going to discuss four different answers. Okay? Everyone see the clash? Everyone see the stira? Okay. Answer number one. You know what? Maybe the Rif doesn't agree with Rav Yirmiya. This is the answer of the Talmidei HaRashba. I think you guys had the wrong piece. I didn't get a chance to look at the WhatsApp yesterday. Well, don't worry, the piece we saw is important for later. But since we don't have the Talmidei HaRashba, let's see it in the Shulchan Gemara, which is a classic sefer on the Rif, and it's easier. We don't have to look at the Talmidei HaRashba. Let's just see it in the Shulchan Gemara. Shulchan Gemara on Aleph Amud Beis. Okay. Os Beis on Aleph Amud Beis. Quotes the Rush, quotes the conceptualization of the Rush. Ubevadai agrees with the Rush in the middle of Os Beis, on Aleph Amud Beis, in the Os V'Hadar, where is it? What? Beis in the Rif. Beis in the Rif. Beis in the Rif. Okay. Beis in the Rif, Os Beis. Quotes the Rush, quotes the Rif. Ubevadai, in the middle of the piece towards the end, Behafi Hudas Rabbeinu. This is a place where the Rif holds. Sharei Betar Ketzet Aregel Hishmet Bayadur Yermil Rubzera. The Baminei, Tiza Bershisarab, Mizika Bershisayachid Mahu, Vesik Nahasan Bechai, Rabbeinu Shemitah, Mashmesvir, Lavelchasei. Huh! Works out perfectly. Talk about the fastest shear ever, the quickest shear ever. There's no steer in there if the Rif just doesn't quote Rabbi Yermil. If you ask the Rif, what would be the halacha in Rav Yirmiyah's case? He would say, Pater! Just like you're Pater by Eitz Arachat, it's Urchei, you're Pater by Hitiza Bershus Arabim, Vizika Bershus Ayachid, because it's Urchei, and it's Regel, and it's Sraros, and it's Bershus Arabim, and you're Pater. Just like by Eitz Arach, it's Bershus Arabim, Urchei, Pater, according to the Rif, by Hitiza Bershus Arabim, Vizika Bershus Ayachid, it's Urchei, Bershus Arabim, Pater, according to the Rif. That's why the Rif doesn't quote Rav Yirmiyah. So there's no steer. And we can end shear, record time, 15-minute shear. The Rif doesn't quote, the Rif holds up to his Urchei. Anytime an animal walks normally in Rosh Hashanah, whether it steps on a clean Rosh Hashanah, or it steps on a long beam and damages a clean Rosh Hashanah, or walks normally and throws Tzoros in Rosh Hashanah, then ends up flying into Rosh Hashanah, I don't care. I have one word, Urchei, Urchei, Urchei. No more animals to walk, no more animals to walk, there's no more animals to walk. You can't even have if animals do the normal thing. Whether they break a kli in Rosh Hashanah, whether they break a kli on an Eitz Arach in Rosh Hashanah, whether they throw stones or fly to Rosh Hashanah, get the gist? It's Urchei. Urchei is Pater. Don't bother me. I don't want to hear anything else. It's Urchei, and it's Pater, says the Rif, and I don't have to deal with the Virmi. We'll see Achronim today. We're going to try to solve the Stira. Maybe the Rif can agree with the Yirmi. We'll see the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Achidish in Tzvaros. We'll see Rebbeinu Meir Simcha, the Yor Sameach, Achidish in Tzvaros. And then we'll think about a fourth Achidish. And if you have time, we'll talk about the second question in the Rush. Maybe I won't delve into it because it's an old Sugya, but I'll just remind you of something we talked about. Okay? What's one way to explain? Again, look at the board. I don't want to give you Tzvaros. I want you to anchor into the Gemara. Why, even though the Rif, I'll give you a hint. Pater is Eitz Arach, top, the blue, and it's Urchei. It's Urchei. It's Urchei. You own Pater, Svaros, in a similar construction. What's an easy solution to that? Maybe Svaros is an Urchei. Who says that? The answer is something. The corrected piece that I gave, which we'll read together. What's that I gave you? Well, not enough of the introduction to the answer song. I gave the help easily. Who was the Yam Shel Shlomo? Anyone? Shlomo Luria. When did he live? 16th century. Where did he live? Poland. Which town? You get it? What's the city?
Brisk.
No, Brisk is in Belarus. Okay. Most Polish Jews live in Krakow. It's where the Ramal lived. The Ramal again built Polish Torah Jewry. He told someone in the year 1450, "I'm going to Poland." He said, "Good luck. Take a sefer with you. There's no sefer in Poland. It's a little bit." Okay, and the Rama moves to Poland in the early part of the 16th century to Krakow and essentially establishes Polish. Warsaw was not the center, Krakow was the center. That's where the Rama moved to and establishes Polish Jewry. Again, this is the Jews in the 16th century moving out of the Rhineland where there's a lot of persecution and there's a lot of forced baptism and forced conversion and blood libels. So this is people in the wake of, you want to, broad figures. When's the Black Plague? Anyone know Black Plague? 14th century. So late 1300s, So now it's, you know, 1400s. There's a lot of pogroms. Hundreds and hundreds of Jewish communities are being decimated. The Jews are looking for a place to live, and they're moving over to Poland. And then, of course, some Spaniards move beginning in the 15th century, but not as many. Most of the Spanish Jews move to Turkey. They move to Arabic lands because they're Sephardic, and they turn the Arabic Jewish community into Sephardic. Okay, so the timing is really interesting here. And the Ramah, rides the wave, but the Ramah becomes the wave. The Ramah moving somewhere that caliber establishes Polish Jewry, and that launches the golden era of Polish Jewry for, we could argue, for 400 years, from around 1500 to the early 19th century, which unfortunately we saw a tragic end to. Okay, so the Yam Shel Shlomo is a Rav in Lublin. You'll see his kever when you go, Mirz Hashem, on the Poland ship. Those will go on the Poland ship. You'll see, you'll actually visit his kever, so the old cemetery in Lublin. And aside from everything else, he's most well known for two things. Number one, every day of your life you read the Marshal. What do you mean? This is the first time reading Yam Shel Shlomo. The Gemara that we read, the Vilna Shas, which is easy to read relatively because all the Gersos have been worked through and the best Gersos have been applied and implemented, that's all the handiwork of the Yam Shel Shlomo. He sent, took all the Gersos and all the Maduros, and he wrote a Madura that became the standard edition. So, for example, just open up to any Chachma Shlomo in the back near the Marsha, and it'll say, it should say this. And you look at your shas, and it does say, wait a second, what's he saying? It should say this. My shas does say it. Because they listened to him, and they wrote a shas, the Vilna edition, based on the Marshal's emendations. So talk about doing the dirty work. But being Mizaka Am Yisrael, right? If you had a choice, would you want to write your chidushim? Or you want to spend your whole life working through yourselves and comparing 40 texts to one another? Especially in those days, it was hard. You didn't have computers. He said, I'm going to work on an edition of shas, and will enable, well, like the Gaonim. The Gaonim were also very involved in that effort to collect all the Gersos of Shas. So he worked very, very hard on Gersos. The other thing he's most famous for is talk about fighting City Hall. In his introduction to Chulin, he takes Rabbi Yosef Cairo to task in very, very assertive terms. Very, very opposed to the Shulchan Aruch. Very, very opposed to the concept as you can take Torah and shrink it and systematize it, psak. Torah is meant to be broad. It's meant to be pluralistic, not necessarily in the way that you people use the term today, but you live in Spain, you follow your Rebbe's psak. You live 20 minutes down the road, it's a mother shtetl in Spain, you follow his psak. You live in, there's two ways to make Abdal, of course there are. There are five ways to make it, of course there are. When a halacha was strong enough, it could tolerate people having different minhagim. Unfortunately, at a certain point, the Yosef Kara made the right decision and saved halachic integrity by standardizing it. But the Yam Shel Shlomo couldn't see it that way. Why do you think of Yosef Kara called his sefer the Shulchan Aruch, his second sefer? Because he envisioned Torah being compartmentalized like the Shulchan into sections and shelves and rods and components and compartments. And what did Rav Shlomo Luria call his sefer? Yam Shel Shlomo. A wild ocean, Taras Nidmiliyam, Nishaliyam. So the names of their svarim reflected two very different approaches to Torah. And to a degree, the Yam Shel Shlomo was right, but he was wrong because history demanded that we systematize halacha because Jewish halachic practice is falling apart. Just imagine you're living in France. Anyone come from French background? Anyone have French background? Great, great grandparents. Say you're living in France in, I don't know, 1512. And you walk into shul and it's Shabbos tshuva. These are stories that happen. We have records of them. And all of a sudden, your minhag is to say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos tshuva because it's a Zaris of Eid Tshuva. Of course we say Avinu Malkeinu. And all of a sudden, you're tackled and you're screamed at by 50 Spaniards who have just moved into town after the Spanish Inquisition. And they just crossed, it's a quick trip, not quick, but relatively quick trip from Spain to France. And they're saying, what, you Frenchies? Let me tell you what the Ramban did in Verona. Let me tell you what the Rashba did. Let me tell you what the Rif did. Let me tell you what, come on! We even have records from the Rambam down in southern Spain. And you guys are saying, you guys are crazy. You know what the French people said? Well, yeah, maybe you're right. That's interesting. And we don't really have Gedolim of that caliber. You're quoting the Rashba, the Ramban. We have a couple, but not like the Rashba, Ramban. Whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a lot of fights that broke out in Shul. And Halacha was falling apart because you had migrations of large, large populations of Jews across the world. And these French Jews, they could pack a punch. You know, they were super confident, like Americans. You know, they had a lot of money. They were very educated. They all had degrees. Here's some simple little French farmhand. You know, I don't know, if you say so. They said, Paris, you know, we gotta turn this into a system. We got to have a system for Pesach. Every Jew across the world will keep the same Pesach, at least every smarty Jew. And the Ramah, we talked about before, said, you know what? I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm just going to add my little additions when Ashkenazi Pesach differs from smarty Pesach. So it's a fascinating, fascinating paradigm shift in the history of Torah. Without further ado, let's get to the Yom Shoshana. It doesn't really say what I'm saying, but, you know, it's the only one I found that says something close to it, so we'll make believe he says it. Again, I'm not sure, but he throws in a line. Let's look at the WhatsApp, because I gave you a little bit more to see on the WhatsApp. Again, how can we, on the one hand, hold the Pterushas Rabbi Mizorche and accept the Rif's conceptualization, according to the Rush, that an Eitz Arach, Orche, 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 look at the board. Look at the blue. It's normal for an animal to step on a board. So I don't care where the nesek happened. I just care if the animal did normal things. Since it did normal things, by Eitz Arach is pater, yet by a normal animal that normally throws stones, from a shezer and shesayachet, I'm going to say chayef, according to the Gemara Yutes. So. Let's take a look at our Yam Shel Shlomo, our handy dandy Yam Shel Shlomo, first piece. He says, V'im Tomar, this is his question. Din echad lehem, there should be one halacha. Kimosh Yuchayiv b'tzvaros, your test, shenatzu l'shus ha-yachid, should be Yuchayiv in tzvaros or v'yurmiya that was thrown from Rishus or Rishus ha-yachid, avo pishar b'shus ha-rabim p'turim, even though normally you're pater in Rishus ha-rabim, that's where the stones were thrown, yet Rav Yirmiya says in your test Yuchayiv, gam kein kishadar sa-la-etz, so the Eitz Arach should also be chayiv. What's the difference between the red and the blue? If you're chayiv in the red, your test, you should be chayiv in the blue. Why does the Rif make you pater in the blue? That's the question. Next piece. Im kein mehaytaim anami gabit tzraros. He's going to answer. She matiza bekoach. Love this. Ein orche bekach. Ein orche bekach. You know why tzraros is chayiv red? Eitz Arach is pater because the Rif is a Mr. Orche man. Orche is pater. Orche is pater. Orche is pater. Rosh Hashanah is pater. Rosh Hashanah is pater. It's Orche. Orche is pater. Rosh Hashanah is pater. We say it a million times so I'm blue in the face because it's blue. Orche is pater. Animal walks on beams. It's Orche. It's pater. I don't care where the damage took place. It's Orche. It's pater. I don't care. It's Orche pater. So the red should also be Orche pater pater pater. Animal just walked. Yeah, but even though Tzraros looks like Orche to you, me, and everyone else, the real briskers, they know that even regular, normal Tzraros, not kicking Tzraros, regular Tzraros, not punting, you know, beat at Tzraros, regular Tzraros, it's really not Orche, says Rabbeinu Hanano. It's really not Orche, says the Rif. Oh! Remember the Rif on Friday? He became a Rabbeinu Hanano man? Rif Lishitasa. It's not really Orche. This becomes our fourth expression of the Ben Hanano. Add it to your table. I want to give you the table to close the door, but we're still in the world of Tzraros. Now, this is interesting. Let's do a little bit of deep lumdus today. I still have to earn my salaries. A little bit of deep lumdus. Do you agree with the Yom Shel Shlomo? Can anyone disagree? The Rif says that anything which is Orche is Pater, Shus HaRabim. Anything which is non-Orche is Chayef, Karen, let's say. And Tzraros is enough love Orche, not to be Pater and Shus HaRabim like regular, but to be Chayef like Karen. Why would you disagree with this Mahalik, with this logic? And maybe, I'm not asking you to disagree, I'm going to answer your disagreement. Remember, disagreement is the first step of understanding. Doesn't make sense to me. Let me work hard to make sense rather than just hover over an idea and move on. So we're not hovering, we're probing. Okay? Why does this not make sense to you? I'll say it again. The Rif says anything which is Orche is Pater. Regel and Shein are Orche. Karen is non-Orche. You know what? Tzvaros is also non-Orche in the same way that Karen's not Orche. So I'll make Tzvaros Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. There are two problems here. One is logical, one is making the system work. Let's see if we can get both issues. If I say no, it means maybe it's a yes, but we'll get to it later. What's the question you want to ask? Avi. Okay, so you're saying consistency. why would you be chayiv in Rav Yirmiyah's case and be potter if everything happened in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if the whole context is Rosh? We'll get to that in a second. Very good. But forget, let's assume we didn't have that. Is Tzoros really non-Orche? Remember, what did we say last week? Tzoros is Mishuna, not in the motivation, but in the anatomy of the Maisa Nesek. It didn't happen. Like the animal did normal things. The animal did totally normal things, but it just happened in an irregular fashion. My animal could have walked and stomped, not stomped, but walked over the clay instead of walking over the clay through some stones. Keren is non-Orche in motivation. If your whole universe is the Orche universe, okay, this is the UCU, the Orche universe, whatever, the UU, the U square, the Orche universe, and that's where your decisions are, and Orche is pater because it's not your fault, normal. Non-Orche Keren is chayev because it is your fault to a degree. You should have seen a little bit of it coming. It's not regular Orche. What would you say about Tzoros? Would you say Tzoros is chayev or pater? I can't hide behind the Orche of Karen. Karen, I'm chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. It's normal for animals to walk, but it's not normal for animals to walk. When I'm in Rosh Hashanah, Avi, I can't pay attention to my animals eating. It's the most normal thing in the world. When I'm in Rosh Hashanah Hill, I can't watch every step. It's ridiculous to be on such high alert for eating and walking. But it is reasonable to put me on high alert for terror rampages. It's not going to kill you. Go in Rosh Hashanah, let the animal eat. You won't be chayiv for it. Let the animal walk. You won't be chayiv for it. But you know what? Just, you know, look at the horn. Just see the animal. Look in the eyes. The animal starts to get really angry and start fuming from the nose. You step in and do something. It's not crazy to make you liable for Karen. It's crazy to make you liable for Shane and Regal. Shane and Regal is just, how can I do? I can't stop my animal from walking. I can't stop my animal from eating. I can't stop my animal from goring. Just be, you know, be on low alert. Guard the horns and guard the teeth, basically. Guard the animal from taking a head start and running into someone. Called Megifa. So in that world, where I make that partition between Shane and Regal, it's not fair to me. And Karen, it is fair to me. And things that are not fair to me, I'm putter. Things that are fair to me, I'm chayev, which makes a lot of sense. Where would you place Tzoros? On the Karen side or on the Shane Varegal side? Even if it's Mishuna, like the Rabbeinu Chanana, where would you place Tzoros? Shane Varegal. Just watch your animal from walking. The fact that the animal in the end didn't step on a kli but threw stones, it's still not fair to make me chayiv because the animal's walking. And when animals walk, they step on kalim and they throw stones. That's what's normal. And you can't make me chayiv for normal things because it's ridiculous. You can make me chayiv for abnormal incentivization, Mazik. You say, you know, look for the animal, guard it. Calling Tzoros Mishuna may not shift the chayiv of Tzoros in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim if you hold like the Rif. If you held like we held on Friday, that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is a formal p'tor, so Karen is chayiv and Shane Varegal is patur. Oh, Benji, Tzoros is Mishuna. It's like Karen, make it chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But once your logic is the Rif's logic, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim isn't a no Regal zone and a yes Karen zone, but I shift the terminology from Regal and Shane and Karen to Orche and Lav Orche, the fact that Tzoros is a little bit Mishuna in the lack of contact isn't enough to be mechayev me like Karen as opposed to Shane Varegal, because the determinants are now not Shane and Regal versus Karen, but Orche. I switch the table. When I switch the table, all of a sudden it's not so simple to say, oh my goodness, the Nezik happened in a strange way. Let's call it Karen-like. Okay, I'll call it Karen-like for Shinoi, for Hadah, but call it Karen-like and be mechayev even if it's just, it's still Orche. The animal's walking. It's not fair to me. Noam, how is it fair to me to make me chayev for my animal walking? What difference does it make if it threw the stones? What difference does it make if it stepped on a clay? It's not fair. My animal eats, my animal walks. So call Tzoros Karen like all you want. But now the decision to make you chayiv or patur in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not going to be whether I attribute Tzoros to Karen or attribute Tzoros to Shane Varegal. I don't care. According to the Rif, you know what three words you should not use when determining patur or chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? You should never, for the rest of your life, as long as you live, at Me'ev Isrim, when you're asking whether someone is chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, use the word Shane, Regal, or Karen. Don't talk to me about Shane, Regal, and Karen. What's the one yardstick you should use? Come on. Orche. You see the shift in terminology? You're shifting the whole axis. Don't talk to me about Karen, Shane, and Regal. Talk to me about Orche. If it's Orche, you're patur. In theory, I don't know what that situation would be. Karen Orche would also be patur. Maybe it's just a rabbit, whatever that would be. Can't be carrying with Zorchai. And Regel Meshuna would be, don't use Regel. I'm shifting the goalposts. The Torah has nothing to do with Regel, Shane, and Karen. It has to do with Zorchai. And Tsararos is not Zorchai, you're right, but not vis-a-vis the Baal. It's totally Zorchai vis-a-vis the Baal. And as far as I know, the Zorchai exemption is Baal. If it's normal, we can't make you chai for it. And quote-unquote chain is normal, and quote-unquote regular is normal, and quote-unquote tsaros is normal, even if you're the biggest Rabbeinu Hananel fan in the world, because my animal walks. So what, in the end, at the tail end of the Maisa, T1.5, the Nezek didn't happen by bodily contact, didn't happen by Kimera Azariah, by a karate chop, it happened by stones flying. So I'm not so sure. I mean, I have an answer for the Amshel Shoma, but I see I'm going to hold off on the answer. I'd rather you stay with the question. It's not so simple to take what we said last week. We'll get to Avi and Gavi's question in a moment. It's not so simple to take what we said last week. Tsararis is a little Mishuna, and therefore should be Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim when it flings to Rishus HaYachid, which is what Rav Yirmiyah said by Tsararis, as opposed to regular Orche without Tsararis on top, because the blue is Orche and the red is Tsararis slash non-Orche. That's why the blue is Pater in Rishus HaRabim, says the Rosh according to the Rif, whereas the red is Chayiv, that's what Rav Yirmiyah says. I don't know. I'm not so sure it makes sense according to the Rishonim. I have an answer for it. We'll hold off. Avi.
For the Rav Pisa, he kind of pulls at the Rashba, like he's saying that the reason it's Orchid is because we don't want like people to be actually able to be like own cows.
Oh, very good.
All he's saying is that since it's Orchid,
excellent. That was what I was going to say. Good, but don't say it. Okay, we'll say it for some other time. Very, very good. Excellent. If you heard what Avi said, that's what I was going to say. You know, we have to make a system that's balanced. It's not so hard to make chayiv for tsaros because it happens so infrequently. Maybe we can still have cows. Very, very good. Like the Rashba. Excellent, Avi. Beautiful. Okay. Now let's get back to Gavi and Avi's original question. Okay. So let's, for argument's sake, close our eyes and make believe we accept the Yam Shel Shlomo. So the Yam Shel Shlomo says this is Mishuna, because every tsaros is Mishuna, even when not wild kicking, every tsaros is Mishuna. And Mishuna is Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim. I should make it in red, just to keep the colors consistent. Chayiv, Tsaros, Mishuna, Rishus HaRabim, Chayiv. Whereas top case is normal Regel, Orche, Rishus HaRabim, Pater. And let's say just swallow it. All right, it's Mishuna, whatever. Now Avi is saying, you know what? I've been in the shir long enough to see more than one row of the chessboard. To understand this, so you have to see all the rows of the chessboard. Oh, really? Finish the sentence. Anyone who's not named Avi and Gavi, because you got it already. Oh, really? Yam Shel Shlomo? That's an interesting svara. Great svara, Yam Shel Shlomo. Tsaros is Mishuna, as opposed to non-tsaros. Non-tsaros is Orchei. Orchei is Pater, according to the Rif's conceptualization, according to the Rash. Tsaros is Mishuna. So, hi, Mishuna Rabin. Solve all of our problems. Well, I move one row over the chessboard. What's wrong with this? Not the svara, what's just wrong with the system? It's not consistent.
Gemara.
Daf Gimel, what about regular Tsaros in Rishus HaRabim? That we know is Pater. That's the Mefurish Gemara, Daf Gimel. So whatever Svara you say here to make this schizophrenic Tsaros Chayiv, it's Mishuna, Chayiv, wait a second. If Tsaros is Mishuna, the Chayiv Rishus HaRabim, why is it only Chayiv? If the stones go to Rishus HaYachid, it should be Chayiv even if the stones remain in Rishus. It's Tsaros, it's Mishuna. So if we get the clash with this, with the Rif's conceptualization, how do you solve Rav Yirmiyah internally? Why should you be Chayiv when Tsaros are flying into Rishus HaYachid and Pater when Tsaros are flying into Rishus HaRabim? If your answer for this logic, or if you're in this case, I'm just going to put a little blue line between the two so you can see the two cases, but don't get caught in the blue. If the offset is that this is Mishuna, well, then this should also be Mishuna. And if this is also Mishuna, and Mishuna makes you Chayiv in Rishus HaRabim, then this should also be Mishuna. And why are you Pater? By normal Tsaros that get flung in Rishus HaRabim and damaged in Rishus HaRabim. That's called seeing the chessboard. That's called just keeping more than one idea in your head at once and saying, wait a second. After what I say here. Again, it's an internal problem in Rav Yirmiyah, depending on what the svar is in Rav Yirmiyah. So the first svar we have in Rav Yirmiyah is, why does tsaros flung in Rishus HaRabim going through Rishus HaYachid Chayiv is Mishuna? Because every tsaros is Mishuna. So every tsaros is Mishuna. Good question. Namely, just to put it into perspective, why is this putter, let me draw it in black so that you won't get confused with the colors. There's three cases. Case number one, Eitz Hara. Case number two, stones flung from Rishus and Rishus Yavda. Case number three, stones in Rishus HaRabim. Flung in Rishus, and these are stones. Flung in Rishus HaRabim. Okay? Stones flung in Rishus HaRabim. Why is this case Pater? Why is this case Pater? And the only case that you're chayev is the middle case. Can anyone inch their way towards the structure we need to solve this? I'll do the three cases. I'll start at this end. You're only chayev if if two conditions overlap. Okay, let's start this slowly. So I want you to get the logic. It's going to take you many, many, many rounds to get this logic, but if you get it, you're opening shots. We need two conditions. This is really a 4x4 matrix because there's another case that you're potter, right? There really are three cases that you're potter. What's the third case that you're, what's the fourth case that you're potter? Normal regel in Rishus HaRabim. This is also potter. So you have potter, 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 and chayev. You're only chayev if you have two conditions at once. What are the two conditions? Give me the two conditions.
Swaros
and offset between makamah, between animal and cave. Here there's neither, so you're potter. Here there's an offset, but it's not Tzvaros, so you're Pater. Here there's Tzvaros, but no offset between the animal and Kaili, so you're Pater. The only time we're Chayim is from Yirmiyah's case. Tzvaros, and animal in one Rishus, Kli in the other Rishus. What do we do when we have a 2x2 matrix? Three are one way, four is the fourth is the other way. Everything is Pater unless I have two conditions. You need two conditions at once to make you chayef. What does that sound like? That they are two different mechanisms of joy. Good old Chachma Yavanis time, okay? My favorite Greek mythological monster. Come on, what's the favorite Greek mythological monster of any Brisker? Not the Medusa, it's not the, I don't know, all these other, I have to brush up. Come on, who read my article on Torah Tidbits on Lavan? What did I call Lavan? The double-headed hydra. Migo is a double-headed hydra. One is a Beror, one is a Koachataina. Therefore, the only time you want to say Migo is you have conditions that both eliminate both heads. Cheskas Mamon is a double-headed hydra. There's a Raya that is your shirt, and there's a Mokzakos that is your shirt. So the only time you can be Motzi is you have two conditions at once. Bari Mishema, maybe we'll eliminate one head, but the other head will kill it. Migo, maybe we'll eliminate the other head, but if you have Bar Hashem and Migo, the Gemara says, then you eliminate it. So maybe, Riff meant to say that the Petorah Shel Sarabim has two tracks to it. Not A or B, it's both A and B. Is Petorah Shel Sarabim a formal Petor? Zeres HaKasav, let's call it now. Or is it Orche? Maybe it's both. Maybe it's two heads. So in order to defeat the Ptor, we call defeating the Ptor being Chayiv. In order to be Chayiv, you have to defeat each possible Ptor. You have to neutralize each possible Ptor. So how do I neutralize the Orche Ptor in our sugya? What neutralizes the Orche Ptor? If it's not Orche. What do we call something not Orche? It's right. So anytime I have Tzvaros, I will not have the Orche Ptor. But I'll still have the formal Ptor, like it happened in Rishus HaRabim. So what else do I need? It has to be Tzvaros, and that it happened in Rishus HaYachid, where the Kli was. The only time I'll be Chayiv is if the Kli is in Rishus HaYachid, and it's Tzvaros. In this case, nothing. You're always Pater. You have a double Ptor. You're so Pater, you're Pater off in the first case. The animal's in Rishus HaRabim. It's Orche. The Kli is in Rishus HaRabim. This is Pater on steroids. This case is, okay, the Kli is in Rishus HaYachid, you know, the formal Ptor, but the animal's Orche. The animal's in Rishus HaRabim. It's Orche. Of course you're Pater. This bottom case, okay, it's not Orche because it's Tzvaros, but everything in Rishus HaRabim. You have the formal Ptor. The only way for me not to be Pater, which I call Chayiv, is to have two conditions at once, is to have two deviances at once. See, I use a different word, two deviances. These are the two deviances in our sukkah. One deviance is tsvaros as opposed to goof. One deviance is offset between makom ha-behema and makom ha-kli. You need the two deviances to be chayav. You need the two deviances to be chayav. That must mean that there are more ways to be pater than you think. Train yourself. Train yourself. I can't. It's like the highest form of lamedness, and you get it. I line up my four cases. Three here, but I added the fourth because it's logical. I line up my four cases. And case A, you're pater. You're pater. But in order to be pater, you need two, right? And all 2x2 matrices, you can have four scenarios. One in which all the factors will apply, one in which none of the factors apply, and the other two parts of the matrix in which one factor will apply and one factor won't apply, right? If I say, let's categorize all the boys in Gush, the boys that are handsome and they come from South Africa. I don't know. So Asher will be in the category by himself, handsome boys in South Africa, and Benji and Aaron and Bees, South African boys who aren't handsome. And I don't know, since you made fun of Gavi, will be the handsome boys in South Africa. All the rest of you are ugly Americans. You get it? Anytime I have two criteria, I'm going to have four different parts of my categorization. Both? Neither? A, not B, B, not B. Train, train, train. Then you'll see how to push us. There are four parts of this matrix. Orche, and makom, makom, not orche, not makom, not orche, makom, not orche. And these are the four cases. And this, of course, is Rabbi Yirmiyah's case. And if you feel the way that the Yom Shel Shlomo explained, or my word explaining the Yom Shel Shlomo's explanation, that what makes this unique is the Meshunah. So those are your two categories. This is Meshunah, and there's an offset. Meshunah eliminates the Orche, the offset eliminates the formality, and you have a Chiyuv, a unique Chiyuv. All right.
So should you spell the Torah by?
Okay. This is the Yom Shel Shlomo's way of solving the riff. I'm going to erase the whole board. If you want to take a picture, you're welcome to. I'm going to erase the whole board and then tell you what Rabbeinu Meir Simcha said, and then he's not as complicated as the Yom Shel Shlomo. Because he is going to give a pshat, which is going to radicalize our view of tzvaros. But we said it, it's going to move tzvaros the needle just a little, but pay attention, it's going to be really cool. Really cool tzvaros idea. But essentially, you know why you're chayiv here? Because in this case, I can move everything into here. Once I move everything into here, then it's really, we should say, I'll fit straight through, and don't bother me about the Eitz Arach, because that's an offset. That's going to be his strategy. So I'm going to erase the board. Everyone wants to look at the board one last time. Okay, this board's going bye-bye. Okay. Maybe not the whole board, but just all the different colors and the conceptualization. Let's get back to our original stira between the Yirmiyah and the Rif. Rif held of Torah's Orche, Eitz Arach would be Pater, normal doggy walking, step on a beam, step on, I don't care, normal walking, I'm Pater. Here, Yir Chayev, this is Tsraros Orche, now we're not in Rabbeinu Chananel, Yam Shel Shlomo territory, Tsraros is regular Orche, so now you have your Stira, this is Orche, this is Orche, why is this Chayev, why is this Pater, why is this Chayev, that's our Stira. Something about Tsraros has to be the offset, but not because Tsraros is Orche. Okay, let's see how we can do this. Let me take a second. I didn't think this through well enough. Let me see how I'm going to present it to you. Okay. Let's go back to our Tsraros table. Our fundamental question of Tsraros, remember, just to remind everyone at the table, is Tsraros Kocha or is it Meshuna? This is Rabbeinu Hananel's question. This is Pashtus. If it's Kocha, is Kocha Kigufo? And the expectation is 100%. Lacha Moshe Sinai downgrades, and it's natural regel, which would lend Meshunat Tsraros, real Meshunat Tsraros, kicking to be Karen. Or I say, Kocha is Lav Kigufo, at least by a behema, and it should be 0%. Lacha Moshe Sinai installs a Chiyuv, and it's a Mazik Chadash, which we call regel. This is all old, old stuff. We never, ever, 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 ever did. Okay, this is like going to a galaxy where, like, they're really strange there. They have four eyes and two noses. Like, this is a really strange place to go to.
You kind of got it all. Don't stop. Don't stop your spaceship just because you have a nice, neat little table like the Shulchan Aruch. It's endless. Go to the next wave. Go to the next abyss. Go to the next subcontinental part of the ocean. Like, what does it mean it's a mazik chadash? What does this mean? If Tzoros is a mazik chadash, it was like a little table. Is it like this? I'm not good at emojis, but you know, cover your eyes and don't think. Just a mazik chadash, I don't know. Is there an emoji? Or is it a mazik chadash, but it's still, I don't know, something similar to other mazikim chadashim? Is it a chadash yasha? As I mentioned it before, I mentioned it in Matzei Shabbos. We talked about Krakow. So Prague, of course, became a huge town in Poland. And as no one will tell you, it became the town of Kfira in the 19th century. That's where every Jew went to assimilate and to be a kofir and to be, you know, that was the place. It was a hard place to be a rav in the late 19th century. Not so much in the early period, but these were the cities. Remember, as Europe turned into the 20th century, these were the cities that were brimming with European cosmopolitan confidence. Vienna and Paris and Berlin and Prague. You went there to be not firm. You want to be firm. You went to the old little backstetlach of Russia and Poland and Romania with Chassidim and the old Jews. It was a real polarity in the Jewish world, you know, in the 20th century, 19th century. Not that people in Prague and Germany weren't firm. There were plenty of firm people there also, but that's the heavyweight, the Freuds and the communists and the Bundists and the Zionists. And people ask, why were the Rabbanim so opposed to Zionists? Because it emerged under the cover of all this secularization. Like, it was hard for people to see that Zionism was trying to create Judaism, not run away from Judaism. It was half of the movements trying to break Judaism. You know, the communism was built by thousands of Jewish non-Jews, people running away from the Judaism, and then Stalin told them, you know, I'm going to kill you anyway. So, like, it was hard for people to see what was happening. Anyway, that's my little rant for the day. What were we talking about? Oh, you get Prague, right. So Prague. So the Altenai Shul is the famous shul in Prague. Anyone know what it's called, the Altenai Shul? No? Right, so in Yiddish, Alt is old, and Nai is new. So why would you call it the Altenai Shul? Because, everyone look at me, when the Maharal built the Goylem, he needed a place for the Goylem to live. So he built a roof, a second layer to the Altenai Shul. So it was the original part of the shul and the new part of the shul. So let's say in the Young Israel of Skarza, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. The Young Israel of Skarza, they decide to add a wing. They're called the Altenai Shul of Skarsdale. The old annex and the new annex. That's not true. There's no golem. So they may have added a wing to it, but the reason it was called the Altenai Shul is Prague was a major center of Jewish travel. In those days, you didn't get on a plane, land, and take a plane the next day. You came and you stayed in town for 3 weeks until the next horse and buggy caravan left for the next town. So you stayed a while, which means Jews were really connected to each other. You got to meet Jews who were passing through town. You had to be Machnes Arich. It was obvious. There's a Jew in town, you take him in. Prague was a big center. They didn't have enough room to host Jews in the local houses. So they had to put them up in the shul. That's the problem. You're not allowed to sleep and eat in the shul. It's usher to sleep and eat in the shul. Because it's Kedushas Beis Knesset, which may even be Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So you know the way you avoid it? And you can speak to all the shuls. I'm sure when they built local shuls in Tinek, they have this in mind. If when you build the shul, you construct it al tnai, on the condition that you'll be mutter to eat and drink, then it's mutter to eat and drink and sleep. So in Prague, this was the first shul in Europe, one of the most famous shuls, that was built al-Tanai, that you can sleep and eat and drink. So it's called the al-Tanai shul, that everyone should know that it was built al-Tanai. Not old new, but al-Tanai. It was on the condition that there wouldn't be an Isser to eat, drink, and sleep. So this is a little bit of the wrong al-Tanai, a little old, a little new. Is it an old mazik? Isn't it really totally new with the eyes closed? Or, you know the problem with Tzoros? This whole thing here doesn't really sound like Baba Kama. This whole tail end of the business. So there's no Meisen Nezek. And I can't really call Tzoros a Meisen Nezek because Kach was left to Gufa. I gotta find some other stage of the process to be Mechayet Tzoros. Come on, guys. Which of the Mazikim
that maybe even a Rebbe in Yis Hashiva gave a shiur on recently, that you all should have attended, the Shanalish there. Which Maisa Nezek, it doesn't have a Maisa Nezek. What would it call that Maisa?
Bor.
What's a bor do? Bor's just in there. I'm just sitting there being a bor. You fell on me. Like, get out of me. Get out of my way. I'm a happy bor. As far as I can tell, it's a nice sunny day outside. You fell on me. Sure, don't be behind me. Well, because bor may not be a Maisa Nezek, we're Mechayev Bor not because of the Maisin Nezek, something you own, but we're Mechayev Bor remembers? It's here, it's in us. Bor is a paradigm, and we'll see this in Etch. Bor is a paradigm where you can't really pin the Hezek on someone, either because it's not a Maisin Nezek, because it's a Bor, or because it's Eish and Koach Achim or Baal, whatever, we'll get to Eish. There's another track in Bava Kamma to be Mechayev people. Creating Mazikin. Is that what Sweros is? Is this what we've been looking for? The Holy Grail? Sweros is your Chayev. For the Nezikin, your animal created, not that he performed. Because there's no classic Maisa Nezek here, because classic Maisa Nezek is karate chop and contact. And that didn't happen here. There's no contact between body and breakage. Is Tzroros, when we call it a Mazik Chadash, is Tzroros essentially HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling you, by the way, if your animal doesn't damage, but creates a mazik that then damages, what do we call that? Your animal throws a stone, gives it velocity and momentum, and now that stone goes and damages. Like, what's the difference between me creating a boar and my animal creating a stone? Or what's the difference between me creating ash and my animal creating ash? An animal doesn't create ash because it doesn't take a fire. So the animal's way of creating ash, it's throws. Not the fire. Now, when I say ash, I mean the category, those who weren't here on Friday. When I say fire, I mean fire. So this is the animal's way of creating age. The animal's not going to take a fire and light. How does the animal create age? It weaponizes rocks by lending velocity to them and movement. This is how Rabbeinu Meir Simcha, who was the Rav in, anyone? Vince, turn of the century, Odessa. Odessa was also very, very cosmopolitan. You wanted to leave your firm guy. You went to Odessa. It was a hard place to be from in the early 20th century. Very communist, a lot of ferment, a lot of, you know, remember, Tsarist Russia. People, Hitler did a great favor, Yimach Shemo, to Tsarist Russia. Because Tsarist Russia in the 19th and 20th century was more brutal to the Jews than any regime in the last 500 years. They spent their entire empire making life hard for the Jews. They did everything but execute them in gas chambers. And because Hitler, Yimach Shemo, did his, everyone forgot about Tsarist Russia. I mean, it was not a pleasant place. In some ways, Baruch Hashem is why so many Jews fled to America. And saying, had Tsarist Russia not been so brutal, Hitler would have killed another 2.5 million Jews. But 2.5 million Jews ran away from Tsar Nicholas and all the others and ended up in America and in Western Europe and England. And Baruch Hashem, close to 3-4 million Jews were spared because of all the persecution. My Zaidi ran away from Tsarist Russia. I mean, it was pogrom after pogrom, discrimination. You can live here, you can't live there, you can go to this. It was just, literally, they were obsessed. There is no country that was more anti-Semitic in the last 500 years than Tsarist Russia. Aside from, obviously, Hitler in Germany and Hamas. It was brutal. So he was a Rav in Odessa, which was a poor town. Poor towns are always more cultural because there's a lot of give and take with other, right? Inland, landlocked places are shtetlach. No one comes and you just do what you do. Poor towns, you meet people, you go on trips, you see visitors, see new ideas. Poor towns are always harder to create insular bubbles. So he was a Rav in Odessa, okay, in Dvinsk, which is a town near Odessa. And poor town, not Black Sea. And famous letter. Around the turn of the century, the Ashkenazi community of Yerushalayim invites him to be the Rav of Yerushalayim. And the town of Dvinsk gets wind of the letter, and they, I have a copy of the letter, and they write a back letter retort letter, retaliatory letter, the people who Shalayim is saying, what are you guys thinking? Like, why in the world would anyone want to leave Dvinsk and be the Rav of a couple thousand Jews in Yerushalayim? Like, are you crazy? It's like insulting. He's the Rav of Dvinsk. Why would you want to leave Dvinsk and go to Yerushalayim? How many Jews are there? Ashkenazi Jews on tour of the century? A couple thousand? Like, they were laughing. They were angry. Like, why are you insulting us? Why are you throwing shade at us? Like, come on. You know, making emojis. Like, all these emoji faces at the people of Yerushalayim. So, guys, just be on the right side of history, okay? I don't know where you live, but just understand. Dvinsks and Spain's and Krakow's, they all come and go. New York's, New Jersey's, they come and they go. You may have to live there for your whole life, but just, you know, don't get caught up in the whole. And one of the things, you know, last night was the Israel night, so really, Ellie didn't give me that much time to speak when Zoom. Ellie does the press. I just come for a cameo, I'm giving through a tower. But like one of the things, people ask me, like, what? Why should I come to your yeshiva? Because you gotta leave Kansas. Because you grew up thinking that America, that Jewry is Cedar Lane and Central Avenue and Passaic, and it's great. And Baruch Hashem, there's great resources, but these are mirages. They're coming. You may be able to live in Israel, you may not be able to live in Israel, but just you got to pull that shift. That's the shift we want you to pull. So, Rebbeinu Meir Simcha wrote the Or Sameach, Chidush Rebbeinu Meir Simcha. Of course, his most famous sefer that he's known for is the Meshech Chachma. Every tomorrow I'll teach you a Meshech Chachma on Chanukah to see if there's any Meshech Chachma on Chanukah, just to pull everything together. Meir Simcha, I wish he'd be here. I wish I could talk to him. He dug deep down through this sugi and he said, that's what's happening. We'll see how it sounds. Well, let me say it for a simple reader because his language isn't as brisk as it could be in the Machayev of Tzraros is not the Maisa. The Machayev of Tzraros is creating a mazik. And now here's his chiddush. And then the mazik that the animal created, because if the mechayev is the maisa, well, the maisa happened in Rishus HaRabim, and okay, it only reached its conclusion in Rishus HaYochid, but it's Rishus HaRabim, and it's Orche, and it's the riff, and that's the problem we have here. If it's Orche, it's a maisa Orche, why should it be mechayev? No. Mechayev at Tzraros is creating a hazard. Everyone look at me. Make believe I'm a stone. My son-in-law is in the army. He does camouflage. Like they dress up as a stone for 5 days and they sit and wait on the side of the road. Then the Palestinians come. All of a sudden, the stone gets up and you know, arrest it. So I created a stone, and the stone walks into Rosh Hashanah and does its damage in Rosh Hashanah. So where is everything happening? Rosh Hashanah. It's called Rosh Hashanah. Ripped up out of Rosh Hashanah. Everything's in Rosh Hashanah. I created these espionage agents, these counter-revolutionary, what do you call them, subversive forces, that then look for Rosh Hashanah and do their damage in Rosh Hashanah. I have an easy solution. Every Tzraros, you focus on where it happened in the end. And therefore, by the beam, which isn't Tzraros, it's Orche, it's Patrik, it's Maisa Nezik, and Maisa Nezik we apply the Orche Ptur. But the Orche Ptur doesn't apply to creating a mazik that then goes and does its damage. That's the addition of the Mor Sameach. There are two chidush in the Mor Sameach. One is that Tzraros is creating a mazik. Two is, since I created a mazik, oh, you can say, look, I created a mazik, but I created a Rosh Hashanah, it should be Patrik. No, I created it, and then it went to Rosh Hashanah. So I ignore any Rosh Hashanah / Orche issues. And that's why Tzraros would be Chayiv, Rav Yirmiya, but Eitz Arach would be Pater, Rosh according to the Rech. Let's see the beautiful, beautiful articulation of Rebbeinu Meir Simcha, Rebbeinu Meir Simcha. Yud Tasman Aleph, Hetizeh Breshus Harabim, Harash, Pasak Be'Eitz Arach Breshus Harabim, Mekzasa Breshus Yachid, Vidar Salah Behem Breshus Harabim, Veshibra Kelem Breshus Yachid, Pure according to the Rech. To Urche Laloch for the Midrus. Avol, here's our Stira. Rav Yirmiya, Tizib, Breshus HaRabim, Tzilas, Vizikim, Shalem, Chayavis. Here's his Lamdas. The Hatzror, Shehizik, Bekoach, HaBehima, Hu, Nechshav, HaMazik. The animal's not the Mazik. Kaholav, Kagufa. How could you call this animal a Mazik? It's an animal. I don't aim. I just throw stones. You can't call me a mazik. Kachalav kagufo. Remember the Nachlas David? Remember the Birch Shmuel? Kachalav kagufo. That was a mazik. You can't attribute kocho to an animal. The stone's doing the mazik. So then why mechayev the animal? Because you created the stones to do the masik. I created a new masik. Hein kein halach mikocha masik l'chatzir hayachid. Welcome sheish shus lepon and l'chein chayev. Aval be'etz arach hazika begufa v'hu hamasik. We now have language for what we mean by masik chadash. That black table that Svaros is kochu lav kegufa, it's a masik chadash. We now have a language for it. Creating a mazik. The Yor Samech, the Meir says, oh, now that I'm chayiv, not for the Maisa Hezek, because then Aryeh would be very similar to Eitz Arach, and I get all this Tira. That's the Yor Samech's second Chiddush. Since the animal isn't the mazik, who is the mazik? The stones. And the Torah is mechayiv you for creating a stone, you know, creating a mazik. Okay, then this mazik walks. How does a stone walk through flight? And it walked into Rosh Hashanah, and it did all its damage there. So the Maisa Hezek and the breakage are all in Rosh Hashanah. What happened in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? The preliminary Frankenstein laboratory creating the mazik. The animals in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, ha, 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 let's make Tzraros. And then, go Tzraros, go get them. And Tzraros fly to Rosh Hashanah. And in Rosh Hashanah they do their Maisa Hezek and the Shvira Sakli. What happens in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Nothing. By Eitz Arach, the Mises in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the Klees in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, here's how it is in Rosh Hashanah, the Mises in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the breakage is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The animal didn't do a Mises, no, the animal's just, you know, weaponizing stones and sending them off on their subterfuge, their subversive mission of treason. Go stones, go to Rosh Hashanah Yachid and do your damage and be Rosh Hashanah Yachid stones. It's crazy to compare the two. According to the Amshel Shlomo, the two cases were comparable, Hillel. Eitz Arach, Maisa, Shusarabim, Nezik, and Shusayachid. Tzaros, Maisa, and Shusarabim, Nezik. So what's the difference? Okay, by Tzaros, since it's Mishuna, so you don't have all the Shusarabim things. Man, Mayor Sinful said, no, you know the difference between Rav Yirmiyah's case and the Rif's case? This is all happening with Shusayachid. What do you mean? The animal's in Shusarabim? The animal, we all know the animal doesn't mean anything. It's an animal. Who is the Mazik here? The stones. Where are the stones doing their Maisa? In Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Where's the clay? In Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Not even comparable. Why are you comparing the two? Like with everything else, I'm less interested in the Beinu Meir Simcha solving our local issue. And more say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now you got my attention. Now you're starting to define what Svaros is in your Mazik is. I'm going to ask two questions and Beinu Simcha. So one of them we'll see together, the other one I'll just throw out there. My first question is it true? Can an animal be chayiv for creating a mazik? What do we call that? We have a drasha. What do we call that? Ishbor. Ishbor. Gich Ishbor. Giftach Ishbor. Let's just see the Gemara. Is that true? Can an animal be Frankenstein? Frankenstein was a doctor, guys, not the monster. So you're illiterate. Frankenstein was Dr. Frankenstein. The monster didn't have a name. We'll just call the monster. People like monsters better than doctors. So. Okay. I see Abby. A little illiterate, Baruch Hashem. Call your parents if I'm proud of them. Okay. And you read good books. Okay. What do you mean? I saw the movies. Okay. So the Gemara has a case here. Remember of the string and the chicken, Yochayev Chatzinezek, chicken throws the string. The Gemara says in your Testament base, we'll get to this Gemara. Rabbi Meidah talked about it. So the string gets tied on by itself, then it's Chatzinezek. But if someone actually ties the string, the tire is Chayev. The Gemara says, okay, Nikshon Me'elah Man Chayev. If it got tied by itself, who's Chayev? Even Bala Dalil, the owner of the string, is Chayev. It got tied on the chicken, Echidami. If he hid the string, he's Pater. He hid the string, he's Chayev. Why only Chatzinezek? So why should I, who was negligent about the string that the chicken took and did damage, why should I be chayiv chatzin nezek? Either all or nothing. Either I'm pusha out, nezek shalom. Why should owner of string be chayiv chatzin nezek? That's the Gemara's logical challenge. Where it says, al chayiv balatarnam. So the Mishnah says that your chayiv chatzin nezek doesn't mean owner of string, because with him it's all or nothing, must mean owner of tarnagel. So owner of tarnagel throws string, and the Gemara is assuming now the string lands and someone trips on the string. So you, owner of tarnagel, a chayiv, because you're tarnagel, threw a string that someone slipped on. Says Maishna Kula Nezek Dilo, you should be a pater. Dechsev ki yiftach ishbor, dilo sharbor. You're not chayif for boars your animals create. If I let my chicken run around totally negligent and takes a string and throws it somewhere, then someone slips on the string, not in flight, that would be age, but no, it serves. The animal slips on, if someone slips on the string after it lands, that's a boar, but I didn't make the boar. Now I'll give you the lamas. The machayev a boar is a tirasam mazik. Only human beings could be yotzer mazik. Animals aren't yotzer mazik. They don't know what they're doing. When you have an animal for mice and mazik that it did that I own, it's for sure. That's fine. It's classic Bava Kami. You have an animal for creating a mazik, it's boar v'lasharba. So what's the difference between not being chayiv on boar my animal creates and being chayiv on tsaros, which according to Beit HaMer Simcha is by the animal creating a mazik that then goes and does damage? There are answers to that. The answer is that's why you need halacha Moshe Messina. If your animal would be chayiv for the boar creates logically, then you wouldn't need halacha Moshe Messina. It would just be a derivative of it. In interest, you're not chayiv for a boar, but you are chayiv for moving boars. What's the difference between those two? That's my first beef with Rav Meir HaSimcha. I say good beef. I want to have this conversation with plenty of other people. Look at Rav Grossman, he also starts to discuss this. Even more interesting is, let's say we solve the problem and we have something called mazikim that animals create that you're chayiv for, as opposed to boars that you're patur for. And it's halacha Moshe Messina, it's mechadesh that. Huh. What would I call that category of mazikim that animals create? Not mice and nezeks, but no mice and nezeks, but chai for creating maziks. What does halacha Moshe Messina call it? Regel. That's interesting. Why would I use regel to define this new category? Maybe because that's what regel is. Why would regel be not a mice and nezek as opposed to yitziras hamazik? Because in regel there's, remembers? No mice and nezek. According to one part of our table. If you didn't get everything I just said, that's fine. I'm just teaching you not to stop. I call it the winner's circle. When you win the Indianapolis 500, you go in the winner's circle, you pop champagne, you take pictures. When you get a Rishon, you're not in the winner's circle. You just start now. Continue. Why does he say? And I said, okay, I got the Rishon. Big celebration. Yay. That's just step one. Okay, what is the Rishon saying? And then how does, what are the other pieces on the chessboard? And what is... This is why Rabbi Yirmiyah quoted this case according to Meshech Chachma. We all know that Rishus Rabbim is Pater. We all know that Soros and Rishus Rabbim is Pater. We all know that Soros is Urche. We all know. What happens in this case where you take the stones and the stones travel and go to Rishus Yachid? So if Soros is Kochel Kikufa, normal Maisa and Ezek, so it's just like the Eitz Arach. That was a question of the Gemara, Yosef. How do we know the Gemara should be Pater by Tzvaros, Rishus Rabbim, Kli, and Rishus Yachid? We all know it's Tzvaros, it's Orochai, the Maisin. How in your right mind could you make it Chayiv? The answer is I have to change my conception of Tzvaros. And there are two ways to change my conception of Tzvaros. Either Ben Hanano, that Tzvaros is Mishun, and therefore it's going to wreak havoc with this Rishus Rabbim going to the Rif. Or Tzvaros is sending off my little Mazikims, my little Mazik creations, and then they do all their stuff in Rosh Hashanah, and this isn't even Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, Yirmiyah was telling us a Chiddush in Tzvaros. And either of the two are offset from the Eitz Arach. Either it's Meshuna as opposed to the Eitz Arach, which is not Tzvaros and Meshuna, or regular case, the Maisa Nezek, Eitz Arach happens in Rosh Hashanah, but Tzvaros, my little stony Mazikim, stoned out Mazikim, go into Rosh Hashanah and do their damage. These are two ways to understand Rav Yirmiyah. And we understand Rav Yirmiyah based on trying to solve the difference between Rav Yirmiyah and the Eitz Arach. Let me say it again before I answer your question, Yishai. If you just came into a room and said, Gavi, what does Rav Yirmiyah mean? I don't know, what does he mean? But if you say, explain Rav Yirmiyah and contrast it with Eitz Arach, that's called magnification, called resolution. How can Rav Yirmiyah says Pater and Eitz Arach is Chayiv, according to the Rif? You see how steros create magnification. Describe. No, I don't know. It's a nice. Sometimes, when we have to make decisions because we started Israel night last night. So you got to write notes. You got to come back. You can't come back and say he's a nice boy. It's not going to work. Because sometimes these interviews take, you're very quick. You're exhausted. You're catching a plane. Come back. Okay, I interviewed Yossi Sherman. I happen to remember you. I remember. Nice boy. Okay, it's not going to help. We're all nice boys. Like, you gotta give the Deep. So if I say, okay, who's Yossi Sherma? But Yossi, I met Henry. Okay, Henry's this, Yossi's that. I mean, contrast provides resolution because you compare and contrast, which is why it's so healthy to see other people, other approaches that you respect. You say, no, that's not my approach. Because then it sharpens your approach, as I talked about on Friday. If you spend your whole time dismissing other people, then there's nothing left in your soul. Because, oh, this is what I believe in. You know, I see what they believe in. It makes sense, but it's not the way I choose. You know, the way I want to be in Olam Hashem. So that's what we need contrast. Until you have contrast, you have halacha. Go figure, what's Rabbi Yirmiyahu saying? What's the suffix? But once we have a default, a fixed variable called Eitz Arach, according to the Rif, and Orche, we know the terms, and then we have an offset here, then all of a sudden, what's the offset? If it's Tzvaros based, either because Tzvaros is Mishuna, or Tzvaros is relocation. I'm going to answer a question, and then we'll give a third approach to understanding what Rabbi Yirmiyahu was asking, as opposed to the Rif. And that will be our official segue into the world of Rosh Hashanah. Because maybe the difference between the Rif's wrong board and Rav Yirmiyahu was not Tzvaros based, but was how to understand Orchei better. Questions? Yes, Isha.
We begin this piece, or Samina, talking about how maybe Bor is the kind of weird model for New Mazikim. Now it sounds like we're saying Regel is kind of, in a way, also that it's also something with the mindset. Is there a connection between those two?
No, it could be that Bor and Regel are similar mazikim. Because in each case, there's no maisa. Remember, Bor, there's mamish, no maisa. Regel, there's a maisa, but there's no. Remember, we said, and since there's no maisa, who's really chayef? And Regel? Who remembers? If there's no maisa behema, who's really chayef? I didn't do anything. Well, why should I be chayef? Oh, I was. She only works as a Maisa Nezek, but there's no Maisa Nezek. But I was going to be high for Regel. Come on, Yisrael, I just said it. Because I created a Mazik. I'm not creating a Mazik by Shane because there's a Maisa. So I'm not the creator. It's the animal's action. Regel may be Bor. Okay. Don't tell that to everybody, Steinberg. Say, no, I told you that Regel is not Bor. But Regel may be Bor. Especially if Fredo's not in the Mishnah. Okay, I'll show you this. It tells us in Nvav, if you want to see Mama Behemoth's Chavero, Kamas Chavero, Regel may be closer to Bor than you think. They share one common DNA. There's no Maisa Nezek. Bor, because it's passive. Regel, because there's nothing. Remember, he said Regel may be nothing, just walking, as opposed to sticking its neck out or Kishkashib is Nava. Okay, let's move on. We have to stop at some point. Okay, quickly. Maybe we got Orchei wrong. Okay, so now we're closing the book on Tzvaros. This is me closing the book on Tzvaros. Opening the book. Maybe the difference in Eitz Arach, that you're a Pater, and Tzvaros, that you're Chayev, is understanding Orche a little bit differently. Is Orche, and Avi alluded to this before, I'm not going to take your direction, we're going to have a lot of time to deconstruct Orche. But is Orche how I've been describing it so far? It's Orche, it's not fair, it's normal, we can't be Mechayev you, you're not a Psheah, as Avi's saying, it's not fair systemically, it's not Orche, it's normal, everyone. So there's no daylight between the Eitz Arach, which is Pater, and the Tzvaros. It's totally normal, Oren, for me to let my animal walk in the Shus HaRabim. If it's totally normal, we can't be Mechayev you, it's going to lead to crazy conclusion, no one's going to have animals, no one's going to have milk to drink. It's Orche, you're not a Poshea. Again, Adam, you walk in Shus HaRabim, you got to watch, animals, rampage, caring, you got to watch. It's reasonable to make you watch your animal Shus HaRabim, that it shouldn't all of a sudden, go postal. That makes sense. But it's not reasonable for you to say, oh, you walk in Shus HaRabim, your animal's going to burn. That's not reasonable. Oh, the animal's going to eat things. It's not reasonable. You're not a Poshea, therefore you're Pater. If that's the understanding of the Rif's Orche, and it's hard to distinguish between the normal animal stepping on a beam and the normal animal walking in stones flowing through normal. Why should stepping on beam be pater and stone hurling to Rosh Hashanah Yachid be chayv? However, let me just see one second. Let me say this. No, it wouldn't work. It could be an organization. Just a sec. Okay. Yeah, would work. Okay. Just saying whether I want to say it, if it's too confusing or not. I'll say it. Well, I think it's clear enough that it won't confuse you. What if the Rif meant that Shein and Regel is Pater and Rishus Aravim because it's Orche? Not because it's not fair to Yehuda to make you chayev for normal things. It's not about Yehuda. Who are we not calling him? It's about Zev. Zev, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you know the Rif also. And you know that Yehuda's animals are going to walk in Rishus Aravim and eat and walk, and maybe even Soros Orche. And Zev, knowing what you know about Yehuda's animals and everyone else's animals, 30 animals in this room, 30 herds of animals, Zev, if you leave your Kalim in Rishus Aravim and they get damaged there, in harm's way of Yehuda's animals and everyone else's animals, why is Yehuda Pater? Not because we have so much Rachmanis in Yehuda, Yehuda's not fair to you, huh? Why are you Pater? Can anyone tell me why is Yehuda Pater? Because Zev was Poshe. Can negligence of the Nizik exempt the Masik? You could answer a big no to that question, but we're going to see a lot of cases like that. The Rif just said one word, Orche. Go figure what that word means. I hijacked the word. I said, oh, the word means it's not fair to Yehuda because it's so normal, there's no Pshia. Maybe it's not about Yehuda. Maybe the fact that it's Yorche for Yehuda and Benji and Aaron and Asher and Hillel and Adam and Gavi and that. What the heck are you doing putting your kelim there? V'chiyo chazenib is not v'yiluch. You should know Yehuda can't be walking following the tail. See, now when I apply Petorosha Sarabim, it isn't zone-based, Zeres HaKasev, where it happened. It isn't norms of the owner-based. Oh, it's not fair to you. I look at it all from the back end. Normally in Rishus HaRabim, the Nizik is a Poshea, and therefore the Mazik is Pater. Normally in Rishus HaYachid, the Nizik is not a Poshea, and therefore the Mazik is Chai. It all starts with the Nizik. What does that mean? Why would I say that? But we don't have time to take the next level. Why would I say I don't care about the Mazik? But let's assume it right now. Mazik, there's no way for Mazik to be Pater. The only way for the Mazik to get off is to blame it on the Nizik. That's also a statement about Baba Kama. Shusarab, I can blame it on the Nizik. It's your fault, Zev. But if you put your kelim in Rishus HaYachid, it's not your fault. What if I could find a case? Everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. What if I could find a case where the kelim were in Rishus HaYachid, but the Nizik was still a Poshea? Because they're still in harm's way. What if I find a case like that where it's Rishus HaYachid, but the Nizik, I'd be Pater. In Rishus HaYachid, because it'd be Orche for the Mazik to take his animal. The Nizik should have calculated and not put his Kalim in harm's way of Orche. Can anyone give me two Hebrew words for a case of Kalim in Rishus HaYachid, but Pshias and Nizik? Eitzarech. What are you doing putting your Kalim on a beam that animals are going to walk on Rishus HaRabim, you idiot? Not you, you. You fool! What are you doing? Why are you putting your Kalim on an Eitzarech? Tomorrow morning, Yehuda and everyone else are going to take their herds of sheep and stomp on that Eitzarech. And the shelf life of your kli is about half a day. I don't care where the kelim are. Rav Yirmiyahu was talking about a normal, regular case where the kelim are in Rishus HaYachid. There's no Eitzarech, bottom case. They're in my china cabinet. And your animal starts flinging tzvaros into my china cabinet. All of a sudden, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. So in that case, you're chayiv. Because the only Torah Sarabim applies. Rav Yirmiyahu was faced with the following conundrum. How do I create situations where Kalim are in Rishus HaYachid, but the damage happened in Rishus HaRabim? There are only two ways for that to happen. Eitzarech and Tzarech. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. The animal is Rishus HaRabim. I know what happens when the animal comes into Rishus HaYachid and eats food. That's ABC. You even learn that in Heichal. Right? Everyone knows. Rishus HaYachid, B'Vistayach. And I know what happens in regular Rishus HaRabim. You even know that in Katzah. I want to break open this logic by splitting animal and kelim. And that's going to teach me Whether I look at the animal, because I look at it from the Baal standpoint, or I look at the kid, I'm looking from the Nizik standpoint. So my case is going to set the standard. It's going to be, you know what, that's what I'm asking. Rav Yirmiyahu was asking, not what Tzraros is. Take one, Rav Yirmiyahu is asking what Tzraros is. Is Rabbeinu Chanan all right, Mitzvah Shuna, or is Rabbeinu Chanan wrong? Take two was, Rav Yirmiyahu was asking Rabbeinu Meir Simcha's question. Is Tzraros Kochel Gugufo, and it's Rosh Hashanah, or is it sending these insurrectionists into Rosh Hashanah? Take three, Rav Yirmiyahu wasn't asking about Tzraros. Having mentioned his question at Tzraros on Friday, which had nafkamina for Rishus HaRabim, okay, now let's start learning Talmidim Rishus HaRabim. Let's stop learning Tzraros. I'm not interested in the Tzraros logic. I want to know what happens to the animals in Rishus HaRabim, but the kelim in Rishus HaYachid. Do I follow the animal and its potter? Or I say, look, the only way for you to be potter is if the nizik was poshe, but the nizik was poshe. Here, you left your kelim in the china cabinet, and the animal started throwing stones in the china cabinet. Hi, what about Eitz Arach? No, Eitz Arach has both. Eitz Arach has the Petorah from the Mazik standpoint and also the Petorah from the Nizik standpoint because the Nizik was Poshe. So Eitz Arach isn't going to be a Rirmiyah's test case. It's going to be the Riff's case where you're definitely Pater. Any way you slice the Riff, Gavi, you're going to be Pater by Eitz Arach. Whether you're looking at it from the Mazik standpoint or looking from the Nizik standpoint, you put your kelim on a beam. You shouldn't have done that. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, I got a case where I can cleave Mazik from Nizik. I'm going to split them. Mazik didn't do anything wrong. Animal walked. But the Nizik also didn't do anything wrong because if one is trying to cap, he started throwing at it. So when I look at the Mazik, Pater, didn't do anything wrong. Nizik didn't do anything wrong. Should be Chayy Mazik because the Nizik can't exonerate you. And his answer is, in this logic, you're Chayy because the Nizik didn't do anything wrong. And the only Ptur of Urche is when the Nizik does something wrong. Here he didn't do anything wrong. And that could be what Rav Yirmiyahu was asking. And of course, then there's no connection between Eitz Arach and Rav Yirmiyahu. So we have succeeded in building three models for Rav Yirmiyahu. Actually, four models. One is, we don't possibly like it. That's so the Gemara is where I'm stopping it. But assuming we do possibly, assuming we don't erase Rav Yirmiyahu from the Gemara, he was asking either a question about Tzraros, Tzadik A, Tzadik B, Tzraros, letter Tzadik, or a question about Rosh Hashanah Reish. Either he was saying, look, I know that Rosh Hashanah is Pater, and I know that Eitz Arach is Pater. I know all that. I know it's Orche. I'm Riff Man. But is Tzraros really Orche? Remember, I'd asked that question yesterday, on Friday. I asked it in that case, I'm asking a different scenario. Why would you repeat the question? That's the problem with it, with this pshat. Or you were saying, you know what? Tzraros is really interesting. Eitz Arach, the Maisa happens in Rosh Hashanah. But Tzraros, everything really happens in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So why you have him? Because it's Tzraros HaMasek. He's asking maybe that could be the DNA of Tzraros. Or if Yirmiyahu wasn't even interested about Tzraros. Tzraros wasn't important because of the logic of Tzraros. Tzraros was important because it enables, listen to what I'm saying, a offset between Maisa Nezik and Makom HaNezik. He wasn't getting to the logic of Tzraros. He came into Shir, the last thing on his mind, Hilla, was Tzraros. What he's trying to find was, what happens if the Maisa Nezik is in Rosh Hashanah is not Pshiyas HaMazik, but the Kalim is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid? And there's no Pshiyas HaNizik. So what's really Pshiyas HaRabim? Pshiyas HaMazik or Pshiyas HaNizik? Now, being that humans live in space, I can't be both in Rishus HaRabim and in Rishus HaYachid at the same time. The only way I could create a scenario like that is Tzraros. So he just was using Tzraros to help get to something deeper. Tzraros wasn't really the issue he was tackling. He came and he said, boys, we're going to talk about Rishus HaRabim, Talmidim. And I'm going to have to try to break the two off. I can't break the two off. The animal's in Rosh Hashanah, how did the damage occur in Rosh Hashanah? Okay, so it's Tzraros. And that's why he appended it to the Tzraros again. Now that we talked about Tzraros, by the way, this whole Tzraros business gives me a new conceptualization to help me better understand Rosh Hashanah. I'm not really tackling Tzraros. So to conclude our share, when Rav Yirmiyahu asked if an animal throws Tzraros from Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Yechai V'Pater, it was either a question of how to understand Tzraros, how to understand Pter Rosh Hashanah, right? Our X's and Y's in the very beginning of Seder. There's a woman, Ms. Kadesh, is B'chalipin, how you say confusion, how you say B'chalipin, right? That's what you're hearing, yeah? It just took us a while to get to that conclusion. Okay, we are piling on to Pter Rosh Hashanah. So we'll continue to read the Gemara of Chiyah Chazen B'Znava. We'll see the Rashba, we'll see the Raving, we'll see the approach of Chiyah Chazen B'Znava. We'll think about Kishkish B'Znava, Kishkish B'Amsa. Maybe we'll talk about Dalil, maybe we won't. I don't know if Medan gave a shir. I don't want to get too sidebarred. And then we pile on to the Daf Testament base, the Mishnah, Shane, all the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. Now you already have some of the raw material to work with. Sakasav, Orchei, different ways of Orchei. Again, we're going to start to sharpen each of these branches. What does it mean, Shias and Nizik? What does it mean, Orchei HaMazik? What does it mean, formal? And sharpen, as we learn through each set. Okay? Shakoyach, guys. Shakoyach. We do not have shir tomorrow. I'll give you the schedule, but basically, I think we're going to have to daven v'tikin. Everything's pretty early. We're going to have to daven v'tikin, eat quick breakfast, get on the bus. You know, these workers, they end by 3 o'clock, so 2 o'clock, whatever. So everything's going to be front-loaded tomorrow. Obviously, you know, shir, come back, either rest or shir klali. And I forgot, we have shir on Friday, I think, right? You know, when is the shir end? Friday after shir, right? So shir on Friday, so I'll think about how to, but we'll at least have one more shir in Baba Kama, whether it's Thursday or Friday, but we'll have shir. I'm thinking maybe give a shir in Hanukkah, Lamda shir, but okay? Well, at least one more shir in Baba Kama, because I want to get some traction on this Rosh Hashanah Rabbin business, okay? Okay, just give me a second.
Have to use the restroom, I'll be right there. Okay. For questions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.